Welcome to the Italian Wine Podcast. I'm Rebecca Lawrence and this is Voices. In this set of interviews, I will be focusing on issues of inclusion, diversity and allyship through intimate conversations with wine industry professionals from all over the globe. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps us cover equipment, production and publication costs, and remember to subscribe and rate our show wherever you tune in.
Hey guys, I'm Joy Livingston and I am the producer of the Italian Wine Podcast. Thank you for listening. We are the only wine podcast that has been doing a daily show since the pandemic began. This is a labor of love and we are committed to bringing you free content every day. Of course, this takes time and effort, not to mention the cost of equipment, production, and editing. We would be grateful for your donations, suggestions, requests, and ideas. For more information on how to get in touch, go to italianwinepodcast.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome to the Italian Wine Podcast. This is the Voices series with me, Rebecca Lawrence. This week, I'm honoured to be able to introduce you to our number one listener. Like, literally, this guy is our biggest fan and we are his biggest fan, Slawek Kaminski. Welcome to the podcast, Slawek.
Thank you for having me here. Honestly, my dream to be one of the guests in the Italian Wine Podcast is coming through right now, Rebecca. So I'm really happy.
I'm so glad we could make this happen. It's about time. So I like to start these conversations by asking my guest to introduce themselves to our listeners. So please tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're currently working on.
Oh, about me. Well, first of all, I'm a husband and father of two sons. One of them just recently became an adult, but being a happy head of the family is my priority, and I'm really happy with my family. In the wine business, I'm for more than 12 years. I'm the founder and general manager of my own company, which is called Mine Wine. I know, Rebecca, it's not grammatically correct in English, but our logotype looks fabulous. So unfortunately, we can't see it in the podcast, but it's easy to find it on Facebook or on Instagram. It's MineWinePL. So I am really happy about our logotype. We are a small importer and we've got three specialist wine stores in the agglomeration of Poznań on the western part of our country. And I am at the end of the negotiation process with another fourth place. And I hope the next week contract will be signed and I'll be able to announce it officially. One of our wine stores is with the wine bar and the tasting room. So it's a great place to organize some wine events and tasting and et cetera. As I mentioned, we are an importer and we've got wines from all over the world in our selection, but the main part are Italian wines. It's 30-35%. And our main strategy is to cooperate with small familiar producers. Of course, we work also with some cooperatives or something like that. But the quality of wines is the most important thing. And I always try to find a business partner who are on the same level as we are. Cool, friendly people with great wines, reasonable prices. And I think that our clients appreciate it the most. But of course, you have to know, Rebecca, that running a wine business in Poland, it's extremely difficult. And I would not have been able to do it without my great team. And thanks God, I meet a wonderful people of really, they create such an atmosphere that our customers wants to come back to us. So I'm really happy about my wine business because also it's a mix of business and the passion. I can say that I'm also a managing director of digital commerce in one of the biggest companies selling consumer electronics in Poland. And I'm the president of the board of the company, which is a publisher of the internet portal about the new technologies. So lots of things to do.
How do you ever find time to enjoy wine when you're doing all of this?
It's not easy. It's not easy, but I always find the time to drink a good wine with my friends and with my family.
So I'm going to come back to the Polish market in a little bit because I want to I want to tap your experience and your expertise and guide our listeners through a little bit about the market. But first of all, I want to congratulate you because you are officially a Vinitaly International Academy ambassador, having passed in Verona. So how does it feel, and what has this community brought you?
Wow, honestly, I still can't believe it really happened. And I can say that I am Italian wine ambassador, and I've got this beautiful shirt with the sentence. And you know, it's fantastic to know that you are in a group of people with an extremely high level of knowledge. But on the other hand, it's good to know that you are not alone with your craziness about Italian wines. But there are other people in the world who share this craziness, so it's great. Of course, I'm joking, but you have to admit, Rebecca, that it's a bit crazy to spend so much time preparing for the exam. There is so much information to learn and so many details and so many nuances in the Italian wine world. And of course, each of us works, runs a business, has families and kids. And, you know, I remember when I was going to Verona, my wife took me to the airport and said, go to this exam. And it doesn't matter if you pass it or not, because I want to return to normal life, meet friends, watch a series on Netflix with you, and finally have a drink of wine with you, and not that you always split it, and because we're just drinking a wine. And I was laughing that in the last 2 months before the exam, I spent more time with Sarah Heller watching her online lecture than with my wife. You know, it's crazy. Yeah? But of course, to be a part of the VIA community is something extraordinary. This is an amazing organization. And it's absolutely fantastic group of people. And I'm very proud to be a part of it.
I feel like your wife needs to commiserate over a glass of wine with my husband, because he said exactly the same thing when I came to Verona. He had lost me. He lost me for the 2 months before the exam. He's like, I always with a head in your books, just tasting wine, not enjoying wine, constantly talking about these strange grapes with crazy names that no one's ever heard of, about soil types and biotypes. And he's like, I just want you back.
Yes, exactly. You know, this is a huge austerity for the people who lost the most from it, our loved ones. Yeah, because we can't not quit our job. A business must go on. So the time that we normally spend with families or the friends, we must spend on learning. So it's, this is the consequences. But we are crazy.
Yeah, completely. So why are you crazy about Italian wine? What is it about Italian wine in particular that excites and inspires you?
If I were to capture in the one word, which is not easy, I would say it's diversity. Almost every region in Italy, it's like a separate country, which of course is due to many factors, the history, geography, the climate, the landscape, etc. But this diversity is so huge that although I can say that I already know something about Italian wines, I am the Italian wine ambassador, I passed the exam of Italian wine scholar with highest honor, but I really have the impression that I'm still at the beginning of the road. It's so many things to discover in Italy. And it's, you know, for me, wine is not just a drink. It's not just a beverage. It's for me, wine is always a piece of history. The man who created it and the place where it was born. So when I take a new bottle, I try to look deeper where it was created, why is the way that it is, and what is the context and what is the story. And Italy is so fascinating that it has a thousand of such a micro places to discover, and this journey is endless. So I'm looking forward to my next trip to Italy, discover some more places, meeting more wonderful people, and taste more wine.
There's always a new grape to taste, always.
Yeah, always. Exactly. It's, you know, but apart from everything else, for me, Italy is also the most beautiful place. Italian food is the best in the world.
I couldn't agree more. I moved here for exactly that reason.
Yes, I can't imagine.
So one of the things that you did last year was a fantastic session at Wine to Wine, the business forum, giving insight into the market in Poland, which I think many of our audience hadn't really thought about before. Now, for those of our listeners who might have missed that session, I wondered if you could talk a little bit about the wine scene in Poland, and particularly about the Italian wine market and whether it's popular in Poland and how you perceive its future.
You know, Rebecca, we've got very strong relations between Italy and Poland. And Italy is the most popular destination for travel, and for holidays, for city breaks, and also Italian cuisine is the most popular in our country. And I can say that Polish people love Italians and everything is Italian. All these aspects means that Italian wines in terms of popularity and the sales volumes are, for example, ahead of wines from Spain or from France. Of course, we must be aware that the average model of the wine consumption in Poland is significantly different from that it's in Italy or the Mediterranean countries. People in Poland drink wines very often without eating, you know, just to enjoy, just to relax after the hard day's work, during meeting with friends, and not necessarily during a big five-course dinner like in Italy. So it's quite natural that for them to look and to choose wines that are not too tannic, with less acidity. So, for example, the style of wines from Puglia, from Sicily, or Prosecco extra dry, it's very good for the average Polish taste. But on the other hand, we also see a trend in which slightly more demanding wines, such as Nebbiolo or Aglianico, are also becoming more and more popular because the taste of the Polish customers evolve. This is another benefit of such a great diversity of Italian wines, because we can offer a Primitivo to a client who is just beginning to discover the world of wines, and then step by step lead him through the wines in the style like Appassimento or Ripasso. And as he wants to continue to look something stronger, some more experiences, give him Nebbiolo or Aglianico. And this is a great opportunity to have so many different wines to offer to a different group of people, people who love Italy and Italian products. So for us, with our portfolio, we've got something to offer the beginners, the people who are in the middle of the way, and also some advanced customers. So other countries don't have this opportunity. So it's great.
I think as well, like you say, this connection with the interest in tourism is vital, because like you say, it is such a popular destination for people going on a break from Poland that you automatically have that market when people return. So you are ready with the wines that maybe they've tasted whilst they've been traveling in your shops, in your enoteca, in your bar.
Yes, exactly. It's you know, now it's so many flight connections between the cities in Poland and the cities in Italy. It's not only Rome, but it's also Bologna, it's also Bari, it's also Treviso. It's now we are in the reality that we are closer. Yeah? So before COVID, I know that 1 million of Polish people traveled to Italy. So it's...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge numbers.
It's a huge number. Yes. Really.
So I know you're also very interested in wine education, not just taking courses, but leading courses, and you want to bring more of it into your home market. What kind of courses do you think would be useful? What are your clients looking for in terms of their wine education? Is it formal courses, or is it more kind of informal, just tasting, like you say, running it out of the bars?
Tell you honestly, Rebecca, that I love teaching about wines. And this is my calling and my destiny. And this is what I want to do at the end of my business career. I think that wine education in our country has a great future. As we already talked, many people want to consume more consciously as the quality of life increases in Poland. And wine has become a part of the lifestyle, especially for the middle class people. And they have the opportunity to develop. They want to explore new places. They travel a lot, as we agreed. They want to buy high quality products, and they want to know as much as possible about them. And this is a market trend, and that we also used, and we want to use more and more to develop our wine business by the educational part. So, and in every aspect of courses, some entry level, intermediate learning about the wines, something deeper, focus only on one country or only on one appellation or one region. it's a huge potential. I think that wine education will be increased year by year in our country.
And I happen to know that you are probably going to be a very significant part of that, because I know you're already working on ideas. So I'm very excited to see what happens in the next year or so for your wine education journey.
Yeah, no, I have to tell you that tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, I'll be the host of the masterclass about the Bollicine Italiane, and I'm preparing the presentation for this, and we will discover with my customers 10 different sparkling wines from Italy, from different parts. It will be, of course, Franciacorta, it will be Prosecco, it will be Rambrusco, it will be Alta Langa, it will be Durello Lessini, will be Oltre Popavese, wines which are completely unknown in our country. And this is my mission to introduce it to my customers.
I want to come. That sounds like the perfect way to spend a Friday.
Yeah, Rebecca, you're more than welcome. Yeah.
I'm going to be booking my ticket.
Yes, let's check the flight connections.
So before I go and check my flight connections, I still have questions. You're obviously a specialist in online and digital marketing as well. And last year, there's been a huge shift of the wine world online. Is there anything in particular that you've seen that's been very effective? Or are there things maybe that you've seen that haven't worked? What's your experience been watching this happen in the last year?
This is not an easy question. Of course, thanks to the transfer of almost all our activities to online, we survived the lockdowns. We manage. But with all the benefits and advantages of the digital world, I think that we also started to notice its disadvantages. Now I will speak more like someone with sociological academic backgrounds. But, you know, man was and will be always a social being. We need the contact and we need the interaction with another person, physical contact. And even the highest quality solutions and tools for distance communications will not replace it. As a human being, we need the sensual experiences, you know, especially in our wine industry. You can't do everything with a small size sample bottles. You know, in my opinion, there is no return to pre-COVID reality anymore, because many companies have noticed large financial savings, for example, due to the cancellation of events, the business trip, the tickets, the hotels, etc. But on the other hand, we can observe a progressive disintegration of teams, problems with the teamwork, especially where interpersonal relations are of key importance. So I can tell you that I really appreciate all these online solutions and tools. I'm laughing that I use probably all the communications platforms which are available on the market, but I'm already looking forward to the return to the wine fairs, the direct meetings with producers, the wine trips, because this is the essence of our business. You know, Rebecca, what fragrance is my favorite? The smell when you are in the wine cellar and you enter a room that in Italy is called barricaia. It's the mix of wood, of wine, which is sleeping in the barrels, and the humidity in the cellar aromas. This is, I love it. And this is the unique experience, and it's impossible to experience online. So I can't wait for when the world will be open and we will be able to travel and to visit the all these the great places.
You just completely transported me back to a wine cellar describing that mix of smells. And I think you're completely right. I've appreciated so much the efforts people have made to move things online, particularly education. It's kept me teaching in a year that I was incredibly worried that I wouldn't have contact with students. But it just cannot substitute that in-person experience in the classroom, in the winery. And I love that I've been able to be connected with producers all over the world in ways that maybe I wouldn't have been able to without going there. But it just makes me want to go there even more and have those experiences again.
Yes, exactly. You know, I can tell you that we survived the COVID period thanks to the online activities, and my customers really appreciate it. It was not the activities that increase our selling, but many of my customers told me that thanks for the job that you do for us, because it helps us to survive. It's a piece of the normality in this in normal situation. So it was great, but I think that all of us can't wait to back to the normal life and to direct contact.
And speaking of that direct contact, I happen to know that you did take a little bit of time after your trip to Verona to explore some wineries. I was wondering if there were any in particular that you visited that really stood out to you, any experience that you'd like to share with us from your recent travels in Italy.
You know, my last trip to Italy was not focused on wines, because I was with my friends and with my family, and I focused to spend the time with them after my 2 months with Sarah and Henry. So, but you know, it was one great experience, because during our stay in some villa in Bulgaria, 3 of my suppliers visited us, and we spent a great evening together, played on the guitar, drank lots of wines, and singing a song in Italian and in Polish, and had an absolutely fantastic time. And I really appreciated that 3 of my suppliers, one is from Veneto, one is from Tuscany, and the third one is Michele Scienza from Bulgaria. He visited us with his wife, and it was great. So it was not the experience in the cellar, in the winery, but it was experience with my partners, and I can say also with my Italian friends, because my business partner are not only a business partner, but also a friend. So it was great.
That really sums up for me one of the great things, not only about wine, but particularly about the Italian approach to wine, that it isn't just something you geek out about and you consume. It's family, it's friends, it's spending an evening together. And I love how you managed to bring your family, your friends, your clients all together in one space for just a convivial evening of sharing together.
Yes, exactly. And I really appreciated that they decided to visit us, because I only sent them the information that I'll be there. But after 2 days, they gave me the information, okay, I'll be there with you. So
I have to ask you a podcast question before we wrap up. Given you are our number one listener, I want to know how you found the Italian Wine Podcast. And of course, I have to ask, if you have a favorite episode.
You know, my favorite podcasts are the ones from the Italian Wine Essential series. So I can say that my favorites are both the Monty's, because he interviewed Professor Scienza, and your Rebecca, because it's your voice with your lovely British accent I listen to. So these podcasts of the Italian wine grapes, the interviews with Professor Scienza are my favorite. And I discovered the Italian Wine Podcast while preparing for the ambassador exam 2 years ago. I realized how helpful it could be. You know, podcasts have the great advantage of being a great complementary tool in the learning process. When I was preparing for the exam, I work in such a way that I was learning region by region. And I read about the history, the grape varieties, all the disciplinare of DOC and DOCG, tasted wines from this region. And at the same time, during the day, while driving a car, or in the evening before falling asleep, I listened to all the interviews with the producers from this particular region on which I was concentrating at that moment. And it was great. I think also the listening to podcasts is very important and useful for us, people who are not native English speakers, because it has a positive effects of our language competences. And this is some added value of the podcast.
I completely agree. It was exactly how I studied for VIA, the same way, listening to the podcasts whilst you're doing something else in time where maybe you can't be at your books, like walking to work, doing a stock take, all of that kind of stuff. You can constantly have this information with you. And for me, listening to Scienza in Italian, as well as doing the transcripts, has really helped me with my Italian. So I completely agree. They're a fantastic tool. And as you know, I'm a huge podcast fan. I have to be.
Yes, yes. I know. And I shared your craziness about it.
So to wrap up our interview, I have to ask, what's next for you in your Italian wine journey?
Oh, At the beginning of September, I am returning to Italy for a few days for such a short trip with my wife. We'll be alone without the kids. So I hope that we will visit more wineries. We will start in Campania, which I have never seen before. So I can't wait for this trip. I've got some new producers to introduce to our portfolio. We will start with new Etna wines, probably the second part of September. Also some producer from Lazio and Trentino are on our short list, and I hope that it will happen in October. I'm thinking of doing something like a Toscan mine wine festival for my clients in November, after the harvest, of course. I would like to invite all my Toscan suppliers. The idea was born during my trip to Bulgaria. I hope the COVID situation will make it possible for us, and we will see. But I hope it will be possible to organize. And for sure, after the holidays, and we will starting strongly our educational project. So this is the plan for. And I hope, of course, the new wine store with the wine bar will happen also this autumn.
Lots of things to keep you busy over the summer.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I love it. I love when everything is on fire.
You have exactly my same level of crazy. I think that's why we connect so well.
Yeah.
Samik, thank you so much for joining me finally on the Italian Wine Podcast today. It's just such an honor to have you on. Where can our listeners find you, online or on social media?
First of all, thank you, Rebecca. As I told you at the beginning of our conversation, we made my dream come true today. So it's a fantastic experience for me. And you are a really good interviewer. And it's an honor also for me. So thank you so much for the invitation. And it's absolutely no problem to find me on Facebook, Instagram or LinkedIn. I'm present on all these platforms personally. And of course, our listeners can also find me by my company brand, which is Mindwine PL.
So hopefully all of our listeners are about to do what I'm going to do, which is check the regulations, check the flights, and see if I can get to Poland to come and drink a glass of wine with you.
Yes, you are more than welcome, Rebecca. And also all our listeners are more than welcome. Our country is really beautiful. And my suppliers who visited us first time is always to say to me that even not expected, Poland is so beautiful and it's so great place to visit. So you are more than welcome.
I'm getting online. I'm looking at tickets. I've got to visit.
Yes, please do it.
Thank you to everyone for listening. Don't forget to follow us on social media, subscribe, and of course you can donate on the website to make sure we can keep these great conversations flowing. Slavik, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rebecca, and have a nice day.
Listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.